Hello and welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor of Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download them from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of our church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
Well, this week, Advent starts, right? Yeah. 1st of December is on Saturday. And I'm super excited. I was telling Pastor Dave yesterday that as a kid, I got super excited about Christmas. You can talk to my parents. I was so excited. When I was small, I used to draw a days to go chart. A days to go chart. And I used to start after Bonfire Night, because Bonfire Night was fun, and then it was Christmas season was starting, as I saw. And then but that wasn't enough. So one year I started my days to Christmas to go in August. So I started in August and I got my chart, or boxed it all in and all coloured and everything. It was great. Days to Christmas. And then after Bonfire Night one year, I was filling in my days to go chart and it was just too slow. It's like you can only do one box a day. I was like, oh, this is rubbish. Because Christmas is coming, it's so exciting. So I did I did an hour by hour. So I got another piece of paper or two and I draw the days out, 24 different hours. Did it great? How many? Every hour I could tick off another hour gone. And I used to number them down all the way down. So you know, one, and so you start kind of in the hundreds. And then, you know, it came the year in the summer holiday, and I had a bit of spare time. And I was thinking, it's time I did my days till Christmas calendar. So I turned down, and I thought, oh, I think I have enough time this year to go for the big one. And I probably didn't think quite like this because I was only small, but and the big one. And so I sat down, I worked out how many hours to Christmas in August. There's a lot, real lot. And I set off with my first piece of paper, drew my boxes out and started at one and worked all the way down. I don't know how long it took me. Mum probably can't remember. And I went all the way through to hours till Christmas, starting in August. I stuck it up on the living room wall and it was kind of, I don't know how many meters long, but it's quite long. And I wasn't going to tell you this one. I was going to save till next week, but I just felt inspired. So I've told you. But I think somewhere at home I have it. I kept it somewhere in my... Through the years. So I will try and bring it for you next weekend. Is that okay? I'm actually Blackpool next weekend, aren't I? So I'll be 2 weekends time when I'm here. I will bring it and I will show you my, as long as it's not been destroyed or eaten by mice or moths or something. I'll bring my hours till Christmas calendar from August. You see, I love Christmas. Christmas is such an exciting time, and I think it's such a shame that some of us grow up. Why grow up? Christmas was so much fun as being a kid, wasn't it? You remember the feeling of like getting up on Christmas Day morning and the presents had arrived and all the family were coming and have parties, and it was such a fun time. And I'm kind of determined I'm not gonna lose that spirit. And I think now I'm 50, I think I'm doing well. I think if I'm gonna keep going for 50 years, I think I might make it all the way through. And I still love Christmas. I was so excited when I had kids. That I could be, that I could help Father Christmas do things, because that was really exciting for me to do that and all that kind of thing. Did I put that properly? Good. And that's excellent. Yeah, you're good in Lancaster. Great. And that's excellent. You see, I love the Christmas season. I really, really do. And I love the fact, and I know some people really don't like this, I love the fact that shops start Christmas super early. It's like Valentine's Day's past is Christmas, right? It's not quite that same, but you know what I mean? It's kind of early. And, you know, what I say, you know, Christmas seems to be coming earlier every year in shops. I'm going, and the problem is, because it's great. It's kind of this excitement about it. And they started months and months ago. And as a church, we've been planning, actually been planning for 10 months for this coming season. And next week, we have a few setup days. So if you want to come Tuesday night, Wednesday night, or Saturday afternoon, you're very welcome. And we're going to get the whole place ready for the hundreds of visitors. They're going to come through our doors here in our different locations. We're going to get ready to make sure that we can just give new people and visitors an incredible welcome. If you invite a friend or some of your family are over and they come to church, that they'd have just the best experience that we could give them here at church. And it starts on Saturday. Our Christmas season officially starts on the first day of Advent this year with this Sisterhood Generations. And we've been preparing at home. And we had our in-laws, Michelle's mum and dad, around last week. And they spent an hour talking about Christmas food. A whole hour. For me, it's easy. You write a list of all the good stuff and you're done. Right? But it took them, I think, an hour and a half to figure out all the Christmas food. We went out last week and wrote a present list. We did buy some, actually, didn't we, in the end? We bought one or two small things so far. But we have written a present list. We tend to get it finished by Christmas Eve. So that's good, right? So it's all going on. And we've started talking about a diary and what's going on and who's coming there and all that kind of thing. And we're kind of in it. And for us, we love giving presents. And we always spend too much on presents. Do you spend too much on presents? Yeah, I always spend too much on presents. Because we just want to, I don't know, oh, well, but that's so nice, we'll give them that. And it's so nice. And I think we should always remember that we give presents to remember the present that God gave us at Christmas time. That's why we give presents to each other, to remember that. And I was thinking about all these things, as I do every single Christmas, and reading the Christmas stories, and I was thinking about the gift that God gave the shepherds on that very first Christmas. So if you've got your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to Luke chapter 2, and we'll read this story. I know it's November, but this is like a pre-Christmas message. Is that all right? You'll let me off, right? I know it's still November, and some of you are going like, oh, it's November, Christmas doesn't start till next week. Well, unlucky, stop being a humbug. Let's really enjoy the Christmas. This is, and it's kind of like, it's a pre-Christmas message, but we're going to do the Christmas story. So Luke chapter 2, reading from verse 8. That's a really, really amazing story. So Mary's just had the baby, and this is what happens. Luke 2, verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Not surprising, right? They were terrified. They were terrified with one angel. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. It's okay, guys. I come to bring you good news. Good news of great joy. Today, good news of great joy that will be for all the people, for everybody. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's Christ, the one that you've been waiting for. He's Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, like lots of them. And the thing is, my sense is when I read the stories, by this point, the shepherds have chilled about the whole angel thing. So they're no longer terrified. This is a beautiful moment for them. The scaredness has gone, and they go. They probably took a few steps back to try and get the whole picture in. You know, when you see a picture or fireworks, you tend to step back. It's kind of all to human. You go, oh, fireworks. Why? I don't know why. It doesn't make any difference, but we all do it, don't we? Fireworks. Oh, cool. And so I presume they did that, and they saw this dozens, hundreds, thousands, just as a great host. So not easy to count. A lot. A sky full of angels. And for a few moments, a few minutes, the Bible doesn't say how long. There's a little ditty here. They were saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." We don't know if that's a summary. We don't know if he said it once and then disappeared. We don't know. I mean, we know, right? Regular church goers, it's amazing how long the worship team can keep two lines going. Yeah? Yeah, it's true, right? Well, imagine how long the angels would keep it going, because they'd be really good at it. I'm joking, right? But we don't know. But they had this amazing experience of this angelic choir singing to them. And then I guess they just Didn't know what to feel. Just surprise, amazement, joy. I guess something of heaven touched their souls. Maybe peace or something touched their souls in that moment. Must have done, right? So much of the heavenlies were there with them. Something must. Anyway, they were enjoying this. And then it says, when the angels had left them, which must have been a bit of a downer, I suspect, and very dark. I imagine it went very dark when they left. And they went, oh, where's the fire? So when the angels left them and gone into heaven, they said to one another, well, we'd best go and see what the angels were talking about, right, mate? And they said, let's go down to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off. They ran off. Apart from one person. You do know there was one shepherd left. Yeah? Because they were responsible shepherds, which meant one of them would have had to stay with the sheep. That must have been so annoying. Well, maybe not. Maybe when they all got back, he said, great, can I go now? Ah, I said, yeah, it's going to be. And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Most of them probably didn't believe them. Probably. Because you wouldn't. If somebody came up to you and said, I've seen an angel. And you go, okay. And then there was a whole host of angels and they filled the entire sky. It was amazing. You go like, okay. Just put that out there, because that's how the people would have felt. They were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things. Remember, she'd already seen an angel. So this wasn't quite as unusual for her. She treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. And I will come on to one of her ponderings in a second. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I just want to pray. I want to bring a very simple but hopefully powerful message to us. Father, I thank you so much for this season. When we remember with joy and excitement that you loved us enough to send your son. You loved us enough to say that I want a relationship with you. I want you to be saved. I want you to know peace and joy and hope in eternity. I love you enough to give you a gift. And Father, my prayer is for all here, all who can hear my voice in Lancaster, whoever's streaming, God, that they may know that they're loved by God. And that God still loves to give gifts to his children, to those who he has created. And so, Father, I pray, not just in this message, but in this coming season, that all of us may receive many gifts from you. Perhaps for some, they may receive the biggest gift of all, which is realizing that they can have a relationship with God, and they open that gift of a friendship with God Most High. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you a question. Why were the shepherds so excited after they saw it all? Why were they? It's a rhetorical question. You don't need to answer it. Why were they so excited? We said, well, it's obvious. It's obvious, Pastor Ed. They were excited because they'd seen the angels. And they'd seen the message and they were feeling like amazed. And then they saw all the angels. And then they found out that it was all true. And it was amazing. And presumably Mary said, yeah, I saw an angel as well. And the whole thing was just exciting. And God had showed up. And I mean, it's obvious, right? It's obvious, Pastor Ed, why they were excited. And that's true. That's all true. But I want to suggest it was maybe a little bit more than that. A little bit more than just the obvious. You see, these were shepherds. Outside Bethlehem. Bethlehem's near Jerusalem. And we don't know. They could just have been ordinary shepherds. But probably, and some of the theologians speculate, that maybe they were temple shepherds. And they were shepherds looking after the sacrificial sheep. Because Bethlehem was not that far from Jerusalem. And they did a lot of sacrifices. And there was a lot of trading going on. And this could have been a holding place where the sheep were first brought before they were processed and taken into Jerusalem to be sacrificed. So perhaps there were those shepherds. We don't know. What we do know is this. Shepherds tended to be the lower people. The ones not as intelligent. The ones who weren't privileged. They tended to be those people. You know, for those of you who know your Bibles, know that David, who became king, when we first come across him, he was what? He was a shepherd boy. And he was a shepherd boy. Why? Because he was the youngest. He was the youngest. He was the weakest. He was the least capable of doing anything else. So he was looking after sheep. And that's what shepherds often were. It was an important job. It was a good job. But it was often those type of people who did it. And they were, so that's who they were. They weren't important. They weren't bigwigs. They weren't financial advisors or doctors or whatever you do, right? They were shepherds. And they were minding their own business on a hillside doing life. Yet God chose to turn up. God chose to turn up to these ordinary, they weren't insignificant, but seemingly insignificant people. God showed up. And he didn't just show up. He went ballistic. And I was thinking about this, and I shared this with some of the guys before. He's like, you know, he could have just sent one angel. One angel would have been super cool, right? One angel turns up, does the whole thing, bright, shiny, big, booming voice. Like, it was enough to terrify them. That would have been enough. But what does God do? I mean, it was enough for Mary. And Mary had to carry a baby for 9 months, right? So it would have been enough. But what did God do? He sends the whole choir. The whole thing. They have a heaven worship set. These angels, they have, however long, but they have a worship set from heaven given to them. This is like over and beyond what was necessary for the angels to get it. But God did it for them, just for them. And then it all disappeared. It was just for them. And you see, I think Mary must have pondered, God, why didn't you send me a choir? I needed a choir. It was like I had to go and confess to everybody I was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. You know how difficult that is? And nobody really believed me. I didn't get a choir. Why did I get a choir? I'm sure she didn't say that. I'm sure she was perfect in every way and didn't do any of that at all. But we probably would have done. Why did they get choir? We don't know. Because God wanted to. He wanted to bless them. You see, I think the shepherds were excited for all the obvious, but also for two other things. They were excited because God had given them some time. God had given them some time. And God had not given them some time, but he'd given them something significant. It wasn't just one angel. It was many angels. So many they couldn't count. So many they couldn't count. God had sent, he'd sent an angel, a message, an entire, he'd given them time. When we do our present list at home, we genuinely try and think of everybody. We're sorry if the presents we send you are naff, but we have tried to think. It's just that we've missed, right? And Shell's parents, we always think carefully about what to get Margaret and John. What do we get them? And you see, because we've come to this realization, we could get them a really, really big present. And they deserve it because they look after our children from time to time. And so they would, whatever gift we give them would never repay them for all the goodness that they've given to us, right? But we know this. We could spend £10,000 on them, which would be a really cool present, right? And they would swap it all for an afternoon tea with us. Because for them, the most important thing that they could have from us is our time. It's our time. It's not our money. It's our time. It's our time. The most important, valuable thing that you have in your arsenal is your time. And people long for time. People long for time. And so we buy them like a meal voucher with a promise. We give you this present with the promise that we will come and enjoy it with you. And that's their present. And they don't really, they're not interested in the voucher. It's the promise of time that they're so excited about. That's what they're so excited about. And I think the shepherds, the angels and everything was cool, but it was the time. The time that God had spent some time thinking about them, preparing something for them. Wow! God had given us some time. And this is why it's a pre-Christmas message. Because see, I want to encourage you this Christmas, yeah, think about doing great presents, that's cool. But people want your time. The greatest present you can give somebody this Christmas is some time. Some time. It could be a moment of time. A moment of recognition. It could be time enough to smile at somebody across the office. It could be time enough to give somebody a hug. It could be time enough to give somebody a coffee. Can I take you out for coffee? It could be time enough to say, hey, we'd like to come round to our house and we'll prepare a meal for you. And round a meal, we'll sit, we'll chat, we'll remember, and we'll create some memories because we want to give you some time. We want to give you some time. Time is so important. And I think Luke puts it in just to let us know God's giving time to the shepherds. We do a couple of things that we'd like to invite you all to. Is that all right? Michelle's looking at me nervously now. But we do this every year. It's fine. It's fine. It's going to be good. And every year we have a New Year's Eve party. We want to let you know you're all welcome. We'd love to hang out with you and give you some time. Everybody, even the Lancaster guys, I know you're a bit northerner than us, but we still love you, and you're very welcome. You're welcome to come and hang out, and we'll just give time for each other. We said this for years now. If it ever snows properly, right, if it ever snows properly, you're very welcome to come round to our house. And we have some children's slopes on the farm. Actually, they're really fun as adults as well. They're really cool, especially if you try and surf down them. Anyway. If you come, you find out what that looks like and how crazy it is. But you're very welcome to come and hang out, and we do waffles and toppings and ice cream and all sorts of things. You're very welcome to come. We would love to give you some time. And I know Christmas is a busy time, but I want to suggest that the biggest gift that you're going to give to each other, to the people you love and the people that you don't know very well, maybe the people on the fringe of your life, the biggest gift you'll give them this Christmas is a bit of your time. But the other thing that I think the shepherds are sorry about is the significance of what God did. The significance. I mean, they didn't have any kind of filter to think, well, is that normal for God? But I'm pretty sure that Mary told them about her story, her experience. And they must have gone home going, Mary only got one, and we got a whole choir. How cool are we? Because I would, right? Even if you wouldn't, I would. I would have noticed the difference. It was not just, it was, God seemed to stamp on them, you are significant as shepherds. The world might consider you as a bit, maybe the fringe, maybe not as good as, maybe the youngest, the weakest, the one left over to look after sheep. But God says, no, you're significant. You're significant. And if time's important, letting people know they're significant to you is equally as important, right? I don't know about you. I love it when people make me feel significant. Because you go, wow, thanks. Now, if you're a Christian, you need to get your true significance from God, right? We know that. But isn't it cool when human beings say how amazing you are? Isn't it great when saying, well, John, good job. Or we love you because, well, we just love your character, love who you are. We just love hanging out. You go, oh, thanks so much. Thank you for doing this. You're such an important person in my life. We value you. You're unique. You're important. And we should be doing that all the time for the people in our worlds, right? Our wives, our husbands, our children, our closest friends. But maybe this Christmas, remember this is a pre-Christmas message? Maybe this Christmas, your gift to somebody, it's a bit of time and making sure they know that they're a significant, valuable, unique person in this world. Because that's what God did to the shepherds. I think this was such a significant moment for the shepherds that they could probably live the rest of their lives on it. I imagine when they're old and gray and decrepit, sitting around the campfire saying, do you remember what God did for us all those years ago? And they'd all go like, yes, wasn't it amazing that God would think of us? That God would think us, love us so much, think is so significant that he would do that for us. There's so many people in the world need to know that they're significant. And as much as we need to do it for the people that we love and are close to us, there's a whole host of other people who need it. They need to know that their life matters, that they have significance, and that God loves them. People love them. So many people. For those of you who count this home here, Lancaster, everywhere, my prayer is that when we, just to let you know, if you've been coming a month, you're part of the family, right? You're in. In fact, it's your first week, you want to be in, you're in. You're part of, and we want everybody to feel significant, to know how important and how precious they are in God's sight. But not just in God's sight, in our sight. We think they're valuable. Because each one of us are, and you are valuable. You're valuable to us as well as valuable to God. So a message. Time significance. Let's hand it out in buckets. And remember this. Remember that God's got time for you this Christmas too. God's got time for you this Christmas. Whatever's going on in your life, however far away or near you feel to God, God has got time for you. In fact, God sent his son so we could have proper time with him, with no barriers, so that anything that we've done wrong or offensive, anything that might limit our relationship with God can be taken away so we can truly have time with him. We can hang out. The Bible says that we can walk into the throne room. It says that we can be reconciled, that our relationship can come together so that we can be close together. If you're taking notes, Colossians chapter 1, read verse 19 to 20. Though we were far away, God has come that we may be together. But God also wants to let you know that you're significant. He doesn't just want to give you his time. He wants you to know how significant you are to him, how loved you are, how important that you are to him. He wants to help you see that when he created you unique and special. He wants you to know that, you know, when he came down onto earth to visit us, that you were loved, you were worth hanging out with. That when he died, that you were worth dying for. That when he came back to life, that we were worth spending eternity with. And as we live our lives, that we are worth his gifts being placed inside our hearts and lives. Because we are significant and important and precious to him. And this is my big prayer, I suppose. As we give people our time and we put our mind to helping people understand their significance, as we understand that God's got time for us and that we are significant both to him and in the light of eternity, that both us and the people around us would grow closer to God, that it would be a mutually amazing environment that we produce.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter at @valley_church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.